tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Courtney Pratt-Sanders. After working at the largest open admission animal shelter in the Rocky Mountain region, Courtney returned to Michigan and founded Paws for Life Rescue in 2004. A volunteer-run nonprofit, Paws for Life was designed to intake animals from overburdened shelters in Michigan, as well as TNR and disaster response. Fast forward 20 years, and Courtney is currently a board member at Michigan Pet Alliance, their state's only association representing pet owners and pet professionals. MPA fights for animal welfare legislation on behalf of its members while offering education and training opportunities. Courtney, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here, Stacey.
I'm thrilled, too. And before we jump into finding out all things about the Michigan Pet Alliance, because I get emails from you all the time, you're doing some great work. It inspires me just seeing the collaborative efforts and works that you have going on in Michigan. But before we jump into those details, how'd you get to be passionate about cats?
I think it's in my DNA. I remember I was a kid growing up in Flint, Michigan, and I found this little white cat walking the streets, and I brought him home, and I named him Andrea, and my neighbor informed me that, no, that is a boy. So he became Andy, and we tried to find his owners with the help of my parents and never did. So he became our cat. And that's when I started to learn that there were homeless pets just on the streets and that sometimes people had to give them to shelters because they couldn't take care of them anymore. And it just ignited a passion in me that these helpless animals that relied on humans and who had no voice needed our help. And so I started helping then, and I really haven't stopped.
It's a journey. We talk about it all the time, but we get involved because of one cat or one kitten or one litter of kittens. And then it turns into bringing food to a shelter. And then it turns into volunteering at the board level and writing the minutes for meetings. And then it becomes operations management, program management. So I'm really interested in finding out why you felt it was important to get involved with Michigan Pet Alliance.
Through the past 25 plus years of doing rescue and working in our shelters, one solution became very clear to me very early on, and that is when we work together, we accomplish more. So partnerships and collaborations and learning from each other, you extend your programs and services, you extend your ability to help animals and people. Can't help animals if we don't help people. That the goal and the mission of Michigan Pet Alliance absolutely spoke to me. And we became the state's only nonprofit to represent animal welfare professionals, pet owners, shelters, rescues, every organization that's working for the welfare of animals, to bring us all together so we could use one collective voice to get stuff done, whether it's legislation, trying to improve a bill, pass a bill, introduce a bill. When we all come together and we can tell our legislators that we represent hundreds or thousands of Michigan voters and this is what they want, it speaks a lot louder than just individuals one at a time contacting them. So that premise just absolutely spoke to me, and seeing the successes in action just really reaffirms that you can't do this alone. You really got to work with others.
I was involved with in the very early days of the Massachusetts Animal Coalition in Massachusetts. And one of our challenges in the early days was really getting some of the larger humane societies, as well as animal control, as well as some of the small rescuers. And many of them were individual rescuers or small rescue organizations. You know, how you get them all into the room together in a positive way. And I don't know, when you first started out, did you have challenging conversations getting all the stakeholders together?
Well, in terms of forming the organization, No, I think that our board and our subsequent CEO, we all have that same mindset. Now, most of our board members are leaders of organizations. It's the president of the Humane Society of Huron Valley. And so they already had recognized the importance of partnership. So there was no selling the board members. Convincing folks to become a member, to, you know, spend $35 a year, become a member of this organization. Yeah, it takes a little bit of explanation because it's a new concept in our state. We've never had anything like this. And then getting them to understand, these are our pillars. These are the things that we are going to fight for. And one of the nice things about being a member is that if you are experiencing an issue or a challenge in your community, we're here to support you. And I can give you an example from earlier this year. One of our members who's in like Ingham County, center of our state, someone had gotten ticketed for feeding outdoor cats. And so they asked for our help. And we discovered that, yes, they have an outdoor feeding ban in St. John's, Michigan. And they had ticketed an older woman who had been caring for a colony. And by Michigan Pet Alliance getting involved, we were able to give a little bit more leverage to the groups that are fighting that feeding ban. We're able to give them instructions on how to go to your city council meetings and your county commissioner meetings and talking points, and to spread the word, put out a call for action that these folks need support. They need you to come. They need you to join their mailing list. So again, it's that one voice coming together to try to tackle a problem on behalf of the voiceless.
So circling back, what is Michigan Pet Alliance's position with regards to community cats?
We publish position statements. They can be found on our website, and we do have one for community cats, and we absolutely support community cat programs. Everything from getting trained, humane trapping, colony care. In fact, some of our members are some of the very the biggest organizations in the state that support TNR initiatives like CSNP. They operate more on the west side of Michigan. All About Animals handles a lot of southeast Michigan. We have a lot of friends in the TNR community because I think they're one of the areas of animal welfare that encounters the most obstacles. You know, whether it's a community that doesn't understand the concept and how it benefits the animals and the community. So it's a lot of education, and then getting ordinances that may be an obstacle overturned, or maybe there is even a positive ordinance, but it needs some teeth. It needs to be beefed up to protect colony caretakers. With this specific feeding ban, we found that it even affects people who have barn cats. They're being told they can't feed their own barn cats on their property. So you'll find extreme ordinances like that that absolutely need some overturning or some rewriting, all the way to ones where it's like, wow, they were headed in the right direction. It's just missing some pieces to this program. And so we'll step in and help them. But we are huge advocates of community cats and the communities that support them.
As a statewide organization, have you ever done any sort of analysis, or maybe you have what I would call tribal knowledge, that there are parts of the state that have quite a bit of supportive TNVR or TNR programs versus, I guess I would call it, a community cat desert where there aren't that many resources for community cat organizations and individuals who are caring for community cats?
Oh, definitely. And I think that the term desert is a really good explanation. And what we have found in those areas is there's a lack of veterinary access. You can't do TNR if you can't get your cats into a vet. And so we find a lot of these desert areas are areas where there's not enough veterinary access, or the veterinarian care that's available, they don't do community cats. They don't handle unsocialized cats. So yeah, absolutely deserts. And those are areas of focus where one of the things we're working on and have been working on is telemedicine, getting a bill passed in Michigan to allow, really open up access to veterinary care by bringing back the telehealth we used during the COVID-19 pandemic. It really helped get us through that. We should be building on those successes instead of reverting back. But, you know, the Vet Medical Association in our state is fighting it. They seem to think it's going to cost them money when really that's not the case. So if we can get the telehealth bill passed, we think that's a good first step in trying to really tackle these deserts. And once there's more and better veterinary access, then yeah, we can really help people start community cat TNVR programs. And sometimes it's a transport program. where we set up transports to get the cats from those desert areas over to the clinics that do this and then back and using volunteer transport. But we're going to solve those problems one way or another.
Does your organization meet in person regularly, or do you do Zoom calls, or how are you all connecting with your members?
So our board meets monthly and we're all spread out across the state. And then we have committees that meet monthly as well. And then people can meet together as often or as much as they want, whether it's in person or it's virtual, to actually get the work done. So, for example, we have a committee that's policy and advocacy, and that committee meets to talk about pending legislation, what we're supporting, what we're not, when we need to do a call to action, who's going to testify before the committees in the legislature. They write our position statements. So they meet monthly and anyone can join our committees. They're absolutely open to anyone who wants to contribute, whether it's an idea or getting the actual work done, doing the writing or advocacy parts. And then we have a committee for education and training where we talk about what our plan is for. It could be anything from webinars and roundtables, which are just going to be virtual opportunities, to our conference. We do a biannual conference. We move around the state of Michigan, but hundreds and hundreds of animal welfare advocates from across the state and from other states join us. And we do 2 days of general sessions and keynotes. We've got tons of raffle prizes and fun stuff. There's networking opportunities. And then on our off years, we do regional workshops where we move around to different communities and we ask them, what topics do you want us to hit? Where are your challenges and your struggles? And we will bring the experts to come talk to you about them. And so 2025 is an off year for us. So this fall, we're in the middle of doing our regional workshops. We have one left for this year. It's Sunday, November 16th. It's going to be in Macomb County. And we're going to be talking cat body language and behavior. There's also a session on dog behavior and body language as well. They'll both be there. But yeah, cat body language and behavior, it's open to anyone who would like to attend. And you'll find that information on the Michigan Pet Alliance website. But education is a big one. And again, that committee is open to anybody who would like to join it and contribute to what should we be talking about? What do people need to learn? What's the next step? Where do we need to go next? We've focused a lot on life-saving, improving live release rates among organizations and shelters. And now we're also adding quality of care. We need to go beyond, we've saved their life, but if their quality of care is just horrible, have we really helped them a whole lot? So looking at things like that, it's just really exciting times. Lots going on.
Yeah, it sounds really phenomenal. I'm assuming you are a 501c3 organization and you've talked about advocacy, education, and I will use the lobbying word. And I know 501c3 organizations have certain limitations around lobbying. Would you consider the work that you do on the legislative front in the lobbying space or more of the educational space?
Well, we actually have lobbyists. We've hired a firm that specifically works with the Michigan legislature and meets with us. And they have other clients in the animal welfare world. So they know, they get it. They understand some of the language. They're able to talk to legislators and really figure out who is animal friendly. And if they're not animal friendly for the animal's sake, how can we appeal to the other things that are important to them and tie that into what we're asking for? So whereas Michigan Pet Alliance doesn't fall into the lobbying realm, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, we pay lobbyists to do that for us. We found that that's been a really great relationship. We've been able to get a lot more done that way.
Interesting. That's very interesting and a great way to arrange it because I do feel like many organizations feel like their hands are kind of tied. Like, oh, well, we're not supposed to do lobbying or we'll get in trouble. But it sounds like we can be so much more impactful if we do have a conversation with all of our city council and our representatives and that kind of thing. But I feel like many of us are kind of scared to get into that space because we've just been told we're not supposed to do anything in that space.
Yeah. And I, having founded and run a nonprofit animal rescue for decades, I completely understand what you're talking about. And so I dove very deep to understand where the lines are. And although as nonprofits, we absolutely cannot endorse a candidate, We absolutely cannot endorse a political party. What we can do unequivocally is endorse an issue. So every nonprofit can get behind a bill that is pending in the legislation and provide a card of support or show up to testify in support. So issues, go for it. There's nothing off the table when it comes to an issue. But yeah, definitely stray away from any type of actual endorsements when it comes to people. You know, Michigan Pet Alliance has an annual awards program. We give out awards and around $10,000 in grants to different shelters and rescues and animal welfare organizations. One of the awards we give is a legislator award. We look at who played the biggest role in helping get animal welfare legislation passed or introduced, and we give them an award and we let the public know this is someone to vote for. And we don't actually have to say that. We're able to say Michigan Pet Alliance is presenting the Legislative of the Year Award to Senator or Representative XYZ, and here's why. And that's all we have to say. People understand that, okay, that is actually my representative in my district, and she did enough to get this award. That's where my vote is going, and we don't have to explicitly say anything.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today.
Let's talk a little bit about the veterinary shortage. I am familiar with several organizations in Michigan that have really struggled with staffing shortages in general, and then also having a shortage of veterinarians within Michigan. What is your understanding of the situation?
It's bad, and it's definitely nationwide. But on an encouraging front, I heard some really great ideas, and I really hope to see them come to fruition. For example, historically, there have been so many procedures that it can only be done by a veterinarian. And then on the other side, you have the vet techs that can do a specific amount of things. But there's nothing in the middle. You know, where are the mid-range veterinary care folks who should be able to take a lot of stuff off a veterinarian's plate and do those things? So we're watching other states that are really diving into that and trying to put some teeth around it, get some bills passed, make it a regulation or a law or a statute that allows for that kind of care. I've even heard them talk about, why is a veterinarian the only one who can give a rabies vaccine? Maybe we should look at that. We've done it this way for so long. Have we stopped to look at why it was done that way then made sense? But, you know, here we are 100 years later, maybe there are some opportunities. And with that goes education. So talking to some of the veterinary schools about offering other tracks to create this mid-level veterinary care person that is kind of between the vet tech and the actual veterinarian. So I think ideas like that are going to be part of the solution. And telehealth medicine has to absolutely be available everywhere. I mean, we can do it with children, but we can't do it with our cat or our dog. It just is so nonsensical, but we have opposition, whereas the human medicine world really doesn't. they support telehealth. And maybe that's part of it too. We've really got to win over the veterinarians and the vet medical associations to show them how this actually helps them, how it benefits them, and how it doesn't take money out of their pocket. But telehealth is big and it's got to happen.
How would the Michigan Pet Alliance help an individual who's out there just trying to TNR 10 cats in their backyard?
Well, training is one. If they become a member of Michigan Pet Alliance and they contact us and they say, I've got a problem. I've got a large colony. I don't know what to do, but I want to do something. We would first find the closest training because you have to know what you're doing. All of us subscribe to that first philosophy of do no harm. And if you don't know what you're doing, there's a big possibility you could do harm. So first thing we're going to do is get them set up with training. And in Michigan, we're so lucky. We have virtual TNR trainings every single month, as well as in-person trainings every single month. Some of us learn just fine virtually. Then there are some of us that know I've really got to be there in front of you and I need to see you set the trap and I need to go up there and do it too and hands-on. So great. We have opportunities for everybody. So getting them set up with training, then talking to them afterwards. How are you feeling? Do you feel confident? And do you need help? You know, maybe it's a small colony of five cats and you can handle that yourself. You've got recovery space, you've got transport, but maybe you're talking, no, there's more cats than I can count. Then we've got to find you some help in the area. And so we would look to our other members, organizations in the area, and see if they could reach out and provide support, whatever that looks like. But I think that's a big part of the role Michigan Pet Alliance plays. We're a resource. You're not floating out there alone. I think one of the worst things is to have a passion to do something, but just have no idea how to or where to start. So being able to give them that direction and be here as needed, I think that's really encouraging. I think it gives people maybe the confidence they need to really get started. Because as we know, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah. And I have to give a shout out to many of the organizations actually in Michigan. Also, they do share our virtual training here at the Community Cats Podcast. We have our TNR certification workshops, and there are several organizations in Michigan that are partners. And so they accept the certificates from the virtual trainings that we do too, to help in their programs. And as you said, I mean, the more education and training that's offered, the better. And from a variety of different sources, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're all sort of trained in the same base level. The important part is having access to it and having it available in a variety of different ways, in person, virtual, however it gets put together. We all have our own independent mosaic of what works for us to be able to help the cats in our community. So I think it is just great. And I definitely think there are a lot of organizations in Michigan that have had to learn how to make lemonade out of some serious lemons because they have had some significant challenges with regards to staffing since the end of COVID, basically. And so I have to celebrate the perseverance of the organizations to be able to pull through this period of time. And it sounds like, Courtney, it's getting a little bit better based on your balcony view.
Yeah, I think so. Michigan has definitely seen, especially over the past 15 years, our shelters have skyrocketed in doing better and doing more. And I think a lot of that was getting the right leadership in place. A lot of the shelters that did full turnarounds, really, it came down to new leadership. Creative, proactive leadership that the support of their state, holders, whether that's government or a private board of directors, and then embracing the programs and services that we absolutely have to have, removing the barriers to life saving. You know, if you're a shelter that's open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., that's a major barrier to life saving, and they may not even realize it. So I just think we've come a long way in those areas, and we've been able to kind of shift now to now let's take it up to the next level. Let's improve quality of care. Let's really boost our community cat programs. I mean, every advocate, and I'm including dog rescuers, should be certified in TNR because you're going to run into people, you're going to meet people who need that education. And if you're able to very quickly rattle off what it is, what it means, and what it can accomplish, you've already helped them and take that step in the right direction. So just having that knowledge, I think, is really critical.
Yeah. Yeah. Courtney, if folks are interested in finding out more about the Michigan Pet Alliance, how would they do that?
I think our website is probably the best first stop, michiganpet.org. And you will find all kinds of information from education and training to our physician statements and how to become a member. Organizations can become a member. Individuals can become a member. And like I said, as our membership grows, so does our impact in making a difference for the animals in our communities.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
And just a huge thank you, not only to you for having us on, but to every person out there that is playing a role, giving of their own time and money and energy to speak for the voiceless and to remember that we can't help animals without helping people and that we step up and lend our voice. And I just want to thank everyone out there who's doing that because it's just so important. And to just, again, reinforce the idea of working together, make partnerships, reach out to other organizations, find ways to work together, whether it's just a fundraising event or an actual educational program. I just want to thank everyone out there who's working really hard on behalf of cats and dogs.
Courtney, I thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on the show, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
I'd love to. Thank you, Stacey.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.